Welcome to the Deaf Runners Podcast, presented by Alex and Jamie, and we find ourselves on Deaf Running Adventures. Specifically this week, in episode 16 of the podcast, we are in the Lake District, all the way in the northy, westy bit of England. Something like that.
Yeah, you nailed it, Alex. Definitely northwest. I think it's northwest.
It feels northwest. If I had to roll there right now, like just in a general direction, I would be rolling in a northwesterly direction.
And specifically, we visited a few lovely places up there: Kendal, Coniston, Morecambe Bay, which was lovely. So all the
Morecambe Bay, yes,
and Windermere, obviously Lake Windermere.
Definitely
ticked all the boxes. Yeah, so what were we doing up there? What were we up there for?
We were up there to do some running and swimming and dancing and drinking. I don't know. Actually, there was no dancing, was there? I think there was some drinking.
Yeah, I don't think I've danced after one of these events for a very long time.
But, I mean, there's plenty of after parties, but I don't think we really party that hard at the after party.
No, I don't quite remember doing that. But no. I think we did this one in 2017 as well, didn't we? That was fun.
When we were camped out in the middle of nowhere. Because they moved it this year, didn't they? Or maybe they moved it last year as well. I don't know, because we missed that because I had a torn calf. Ruined my trifecta attempt. But back in 2017, I can't remember where in the Lake District it was, but it was basically the middle of a field with no signal. Where my Apple Watch reset itself because it was so wet and it's a touchscreen and just generally useless for running. And I ended up with it in Polish for the entire weekend.
Oh, brilliant. Was it that race? That's amazing.
That was that race. Well, and I couldn't get it to actually set itself up to even tell me the time because you need a signal to get the whole Apple iCloud thing synchronized up with it. And so it was just there stuck warning me about how it was in Polish and I needed to connect to the internet. I assume that's what it was saying. There was a lot of letters on the screen and none of them made any sense to me.
Brilliant. And it was quite wet as well during that year, from memory. I think my tent leaked, unfortunately, so I was wet and miserable out on the course, and then I ended up being wet and miserable at night while it kind of opened the heavens up. But I think how was your tent, Alex?
My tent was lovely and dry and warm, and it had pasta that you brought with you as well. And I brought that into my tent.
Sounds like you had a great time.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. Neighbour was a pain. He just kept whining about how his tent was leaking all the time. But you know, you can't have everything on these runs.
Yeah, well, thankfully this time round we've booked a nice hotel, which was much my preference this time. Yeah,
the end. It wasn't the start, was it? It was actually the finish that was in Coniston, so actually in a town as opposed to the middle of nowhere, which is, you know, two thumbs up for the audible on that one. That race, that was really good.
Yeah, but it's a strange one because I think the start time varies based on the tide. So we go across Morecambe Bay for, I think, about 7 kilometres first. So obviously it has to happen in low tide. So we end up, the start point this year was we had to get on the bus about 5 o'clock in the morning, wasn't it?
Yeah, we definitely had to do that in 2017 because I remember queuing up, but we had breakfast.
Yeah. We'd neglected. So this is our first mistake, I think, as always, is we'd forgotten breakfast.
Yeah.
So
porridge pot, for instance. Yeah. Also, have we actually mentioned this is the Man versus Lakes event that's part of the Rat Race series of Man versus events, of which we've already talked about Man versus Coast, which we've done. And then what would follow this race would be the Man versus Mountain. Just thought I'd throw that in there, just because I think we've just been talking about the Lake District.
Yeah,
bring people on board.
A merry jaunt. Well, hopefully they're going to read the introductory statement and say, this is Man versus Lakes podcast. But you're right, we should really probably lead with that. Yeah. Okay, well, next time,
lead with the race name. Yeah, let's work on that. So one of our points for improvement.
only 16 podcasts in.
along with actually recording the podcast anywhere close to actually doing the event. It's kind of October now, and this event was, I don't even know when it was. It was in the summer sometime, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was late July, wasn't it? So it's a good few months.
Yeah,
it
feels like that.
So maybe this is like a race retrospective. Yeah, we look back and think, what did we learn? What did we learn about ourselves?
Really retro, super retro.
Yeah. What do we remember that we learned about ourselves? Because we probably forgot it. We probably learned it and now we've forgotten it.
I think strength in numbers.
Yes.
Is that something we could learn from this event?
Definitely. It's good to do these things with friends. Especially if these friends are much quicker than we are, because they can save a table at the start for when I finish, which means there's somewhere to sit down.
Always a benefit. Always a benefit.
Cool. So it was a bit of a miserable morning, wasn't it? We got up quite early. We nearly missed the bus. Had to kind of run into town. We got a bit lost and had no breakfast other than some beef jerky. So not a great start.
Yeah, I remember being very miserable on that bus ride. I was like, well, why the hell am I doing this race? I don't think I even particularly liked it the first time I did it because it was just raining. All I really wanted was to have the third piece of the medal, which I started doing in last year in 2018. We get like three sections for each man versus event. And I was like, yep, I'm going to get that this year. And that was the only reason I was running the race, to be honest. I was like, why am I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning? I had no breakfast. It's down with rain.
Yeah, I mean...
About to start a 28-mile run.
I mean, there is something to be said for fighting against the elements and kind of succeeding. But at that point in time, before we'd really started running, it was, yeah, as you say, a little bit miserable. And it also wasn't helped because when we got there, it was kind of cold, wet, miserable, raining a bit. And then just before we started, we were waiting around quite a long time. It was almost like a wall of cloud came over the bay. And it started raining sideways.
It's raining sideways.
And
we had
exactly.
No soup.
We had no soup. No chunky. No chunky soup.
Chunky.
But I distinctly remember like having needles jabbing into my face from different directions. And it's not, you know, Morecambe Bay, the route we took is quite winding. And it's quite an interesting thing to do, actually, because it's kind of, when we got out right in the middle, the car cloud really came in and you couldn't see either side of the bay. So it's kind of really weird, atmospheric, almost like kind of out of a kind of horror movie, kind of running along, and especially with the kind of the weather, and there's the odd kind of petrified tree here and there, or kind of sunken boat, and it's a very odd experience, but it's definitely an interesting one. Yeah, so it was nice to finally get to the side of the other side of the bay, about 7 kilometers in. It took about 50 odd minutes for me, at least, anyway. And
I can't really remember any of the view that you just described, because we had to wait forever to actually get going. You've got to wait for the tide to go out, and then they have the chap on a tractor who basically finds the route that people can run on, and they kind of mark out a route across the bay.
I forgot about the chap on the tractor.
Chap on the tractor, which we have to wait forever for. Because, I mean, let's face it, I want to be safe. I don't want to drown today.
Agreed.
Or any day, really. It's not really something I like to schedule. But it is, yeah, it was just the day. You've just been up since 5 o'clock. We waited around maybe for another hour and a half, I think. And yeah, it was just, I was just free. Like, I had my waterproof on, which I rarely ever do. It was, yeah, just miserable, really. But it was, once you got running, it was fine. It was actually quite a bit of fun because, you know, you're running on relatively firm sand, and then there's areas where you're kind of wading like knee or chest deep, so you have to move a bit differently. So there's a lot of variation in how you're running at that first 7K. And then there's that bouncy bit that you enjoy at the end, which was a lot more bouncier last time. I do remember back in 2017, those bygone eras, where it was literally, it's like springboarding. But this year, it really didn't seem to be as bouncy castle-like.
Yeah, it kind of it was still mildly entertaining. I was a bit disappointed actually because I thought it would happen a lot earlier on in the Bay Crossing, but it kind of happened right at the end, and it's kind of almost like a little bit of a jolt. You kind of immediately think, oh, something's going wrong with my footing, but it's just yeah, it's. I think you have to try it to really understand, but it's just kind of almost it's the sand giving way beneath your feet, kind of reorganizing itself. It's not kind of quicksand or anything, but it kind of feels like it might be quicksand.
It's slow sand.
Slow sand, yeah. But yeah, then we once we got out, I think we ran along the coast to the kind of first checkpoint, which is just before the kind of 2 kilometer section of this race. And I think Alex, you took a kind of interesting strategy of sock dumping.
Yeah, my socks were completely ruined because they get just completely swamped with sand and water and completely clogged up. So by the time you actually come out of Morecambe Bay, you're actually, your feet are about an extra kilo or two heavier just from all the sand and water. So you really got to, when you finish, try and empty out as much as possible. And then, yeah, when we got to the pit stop, I took out the spare socks, whipped off the old ones, threw them straight in the bin, grabbed a packet of crisps, and just enjoyed life changing clothes.
I mean, it's a pretty good set of events there. Got rid of your wet socks, had a packet of crisps, nailed it.
Good crisps, good trade, I think. Good trade.
Yeah. So some of the other people we ran with, I think one person actually kind of binned their shoes. Not obviously on the coastline in an actual bin. He didn't just chuck on the shore just to.
Bring them away.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? So wet feet can affect people differently. I didn't change my socks or shoes, but I've got feet for some reason like a too astringent iron clods, basically. So
I don't all that running in the desert did that, to be honest.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, so I don't tend to suffer with blisters. Or I think I actually did get one in this event. So it's kind of foot care is key. So unless you nonchalantly kind of approach life like me and are terrible generally at doing these things, you probably should look after your feet, which Alex did very well from the sounds of it. But
threw one pair of socks away. I mean, I wouldn't call that amazing foot care, but
take the compliment, Jesus. Right.
Okay, I'll take it. I'm so great at foot care. I should become a podiatrist.
when we did the vertical kilometer, and you've always, from memory, been quite keen on these ones. So I think you could have raced off. Where I kind of stumbled and gasped my way up to the summit. And this time the cloud had cleared. The first time we did it, there was absolutely no view at all. Again, it's just completely covered in cloud. So it was nice to see a kind of almost spectacular view at the top. Obviously, Alex, you were kind of looking out to see if I'd arrived or where I was. So I don't think you took much time to focus on the nice view. But you're too worried. You're too worried about where I was, obviously.
Yeah, it's an okay vertical kilometer. Prefer the man versus mountain vertical K. I find it a bit more grueling, I guess. It's you really have to stomp up that thing.
Yeah.
Whereas and also the man versus mountain one is right at the end of the race, after you've done Snowdon. Whereas man versus lakes, it's pretty much the first incline you come to, isn't it?
Yeah.
The vertical K, and it's kind of just an uphill. It's a long uphill.
Yeah, and I mean each one of these races is quite different. I think I covered this a little bit in the Man versus Coast podcast, but Man versus Coast, they all have kind of similar elevation profiles in terms of the amount that you go up. Man versus Mountain, obviously the most. Man versus Coast is lots of kind of ups and downs, you know, throughout the race. There's not kind of any extremely high point. It's just all, yeah, up and down, up and down, up and down. This one was a bit more towards Man versus Mountain, that you had quite a few kind of sharp climbs, but there wasn't like one large extreme one, like i.e. Snowdon. There was just quite a few kind of 200 meter ones to do. And I think my training hadn't really been focused on that. It was more just, I think I was kind of prepared for the Man versus Coast stuff. So I think a lot of hill climbing trainings probably would have stood me in good stead in this race. So I did struggle.
Always do more hills.
Yeah, always do more hills. We should probably make a t-shirt with that. More hills. Yeah. So I actually. Elevation. Yeah.
Take me higher.
Higher.
Sorry, that was a tangent.
It's probably more interesting me chatting about my hill training.
Oh, yeah, hill training is, I think, the main reason we have so many subscribers. 100%. Hill training, jamiehilltraining.com. That's what we should rename the site. In fact, I'm going to register that right now.
That's a freaking great idea.
Rock and roll.
So what stood out for this race from your perspective, Alex? Is there anything kind of you thought went well or badly, other than running with me, obviously?
I mean, it was the first part was quite a good run after you actually got started and woken up and taken someone else's breakfasts. It's the first bit is actually quite fun. It's just that it's not. I don't think it's worth the wait at the start of a race to, it's fun running through a bay, but water. But I'd rather not wake up at 5 a.m. and stand around for 2 hours to do that. But I'm sure there are people who gladly sacrificed, sleep and breakfast to run in that fashion.
So it's a good point you just mentioned now, actually. Like, you didn't actually sacrifice your breakfast. You sacrificed somebody else's breakfast.
It was willing. They were a willing sacrifice. What's the word?
Yeah, they sacrificed their breakfast for you. They thought they had more than they had, and it was too late when they realized that they'd you'd already eaten all their food.
I'm just particularly efficient at consuming food, really.
Yeah, moral of the story, don't give Alex breakfast. Yeah.
What was that, sorry?
Moral of the story, don't give Alex breakfast.
Yeah, don't give me your breakfast if you aren't sure that you actually need your breakfast.
So interesting, this event next year, they've added another bit onto it. You can actually
Yes, as I just talked over you again, sorry. But yes, Scarfeld Pike. Adding that in there is quite exciting. I've never actually done that hill, although we've talked about doing it on different events or others. It sounds like a good addition. It's a day two addition, I think. So they're making it a two-day event for those who want to add the second day of mountain climbing in, which I probably would tag on.
If I was
to do this race again.
Yeah, it kind of makes it feel like the Isle of Arran race. Earlier on the year, you got those kind of 2 days, and the kind of steeper ascent on the second day.
Yeah. Is the second day they're doing, is it 30 miles again? Do you know?
I don't know. It's a good show.
28 miles, I think, is the first day, isn't it? Or the current distance.
Indeed. So just looking at Sea to Scarfell Summit upgrade. Talk amongst yourselves while I look.
So how was your day today? Oh yes, my day was very good, actually. I enjoyed a nice cup of tea and some cereal for breakfast. That was a great start to the day, and I really hope Jamie actually finishes looking this up. I mean, how long could it possibly take to look at how long a distance is on the second day of a two-day event?
Okay, so it looks quite a long time. So this will be two pit stops, about 10 and 20 miles. So that, up to 30 miles of awesome Lake District Trail. So another 30 miles next day. Yeah.
That's a pretty good challenge. Pretty good challenge. Yeah.
And also another 6,500 feet. So that's pretty tough taking into the first day as well.
Go get them hills. Go get them hills.
Maybe something to do again in 2 years. I think next year we're looking at doing other races, aren't we?
Yeah. So, we're coming up to Q4 of 2019, and we have actually already started looking at races for 2020, which we'll probably record in the same fashion as we did this year as a kind of a walkthrough of our planning session, which will be good. We've already got quite a few things on that list. But have we got any more to talk about with, because on Man versus Lakes this year, what we haven't discussed is any of the water challenges, which involve a lot of swimming. I spend a lot of time wading around in lakes, just hanging out, waiting for you. Not because you're slow, just because You were too polite letting people in front of you when you're going over obstacles, I think.
Exactly. You've got to be polite. You know, it's got to be a queuing system. You've got to be orderly. this isn't Europe. But, so you've very kindly waited for me quite a lot. But, yeah, you're waiting. Yeah, this is the Lake District, Alex. If you're going to hang out somewhere, you might as well hang out in a lake.
I mean, if you're going to visit the Lake District, wade into a lake and wait there.
And wait there.
Got a lot to do.
It is actually quite strange, despite the fact that it's quite cold out, and kind of it was quite nice at certain points, just kind of chilling out in the lake sometimes. And it's because obviously you're so hot from running, it's nice to cool off sometimes, even though it is kind of inclement weather. The obstacles are quite interesting. There's quite a few of them, but there was kind of the surfboard one where you had to kind of swim with the surfboard. I need to work on that. I had everybody just kind of sprinting past me almost.
I have no idea how to use those. I believe they're actually bodyboards rather than surfboards.
Good point.
That might be the problem. If they gave us actual surfboards, you'd be away like a seal. Yeah.
That's it. That's all my training's been on surfboards. there's also the kind of the monkey bars, and there's kind of other kind of rope challenges you have to pull yourself up. And yeah, there's quite a few, which was fairly entertaining. You know, it's good fun. But I definitely found, like, at that point in time, there's kind of two or three locations where they do it. I already kind of pretty exhausted, so kind of 18 miles in, even though I could probably pull myself up the rope challenge quite easily normally, I just really struggled to just so I think definitely make sure you train for the obstacles as well if you want to do this event competently. It's funny, me advising training.
Which, of course, you will do next year, or whenever we do this event again. That will be highest on your list.
Definitely, yeah. The other thing that kind of is the bit at the end. Obviously, there's a canoe challenge, and I'd started to cramp by this point in time, so you kindly managed to pull me around that, which was great. Appreciate that.
Basically chauffeuring you around the Lake District.
Yeah, but we did have, we did the last kind of climb was the crest of that section. Got to see, again, great view. Saw the Cunniston town, the beach, and then the kind of kayak section. It was kind of almost like we'd nearly finished, and it's still like 4 or 5 kilometers to go, as we find out, which is a bit of a drag. But I think from memory, that was probably my favorite bit anyway, was going down that last ascent at kind of breakneck speed.
Is that because you could see the beer tent at that point?
Exactly. I was visualizing the beer tent. It was in my mind the entire time.
It was really good. And we were quite close by to the finish, as we kind of mentioned before. So, and staying at a pub as well, which was perfect, actually. So got a good few drinks in after the race. Definitely the way to finish it. Finish strong with beer.
So definitely. So was it 28 miles in the end? So it's quoted 28 miles.
That's what I recall it being, but I didn't really looking it up, and I can't be bothered to wait for my app to load where it tells you the distance. But let's just say it was 28 miles, and maybe it was 30. Who knows?
Round up. It's definitely 30 miles. Yeah. So this is the longest out.
Maybe 60. Maybe 60 miles.
It's definitely 60 miles. Yeah. So this is the longest out of the three man versus events. So different. It's not as challenging as the other ones. In terms of, I say it's equally as challenging. It's just a kind of different kind of challenge, I think, in terms of the distance.
I mean, a lot of people say it's the hardest one. I think primarily it's because of the distance and it's a hilly distance as well.
Yeah. Agreed.
But horses and courses, like, you wouldn't put a horse on a Formula One course because they have the wrong shoes.
Strangely, that you made that point really well, actually, using that analogy. I was actually quite surprised.
No, I've been working on it for like weeks.
Cool. So I've got kind of a few things top of my head to say about this event, this summary. So, make your bag waterproof and embrace the cold water challenges. So we had a bit of queuing. We were waiting for bags to be taken over certain sections. So just make it waterproof and then you can just skip through that bit.
Yeah, just swim through it because your bag's all waterproofed. Don't matter.
Exactly. And then don't forget to train for some of the obstacles. They happen to be well into the race this time around, so you'll be very tired. So just make sure you've got some upper body physicality somewhere.
Get some pull-ups done.
Yeah. Got another pull-ups. Yeah, and hills. Pull-ups up hills. Yeah, combine that somehow. I don't know how you find
a way. Maybe put monkey bars at an incline up a hill.
Yeah. And then nutrition. Yeah, make sure you kind of you eat appropriately. So if you've got a big climb coming up, make sure you've already got something in your stomach to give you energy up when you're at the top of the hill.
Maybe so not in your stomach, because that could feel kind of nauseous. Some, yeah. You just kind of, I mean, nutrition is always a very personal thing, isn't it? It's kind of like gels are disgusting and make me want to vomit. And then there's other food, which doesn't. I think that's the two categories, really.
I mean, we do have very different nutrition strategies. So it might be worth doing something like as in a summary of what each of us kind of eats on the way around. Maybe Pete as well, maybe some of the other guys we run with. Because that'd be quite a difference, isn't there, from what I
knew. Looking at people's bags when we finish a race and everyone kind of tips out what's left in there, I think most of the races are like, you need to make sure you have like 400 calories or something along those lines, at least, maybe more.
Yeah.
And then you watch people take this stuff out of the bag, it's like, well, not only is that probably about, 3,000 calories, but it also weighs a ton. I mean, a pork pie is not a light piece of, calorie construct, if you want a better word for food.
I mean, it is calorie dense. It does have lard in it. Yeah, it's calorie dense.
It's got the fats in there for sure. But it's just weighty. Weighty.
That's a fair point. I did experiment with having pine nuts. Pine nuts is a kind of calorie dense food, which is fairly light, but it's actually quite difficult to eat pine nuts.
Spits everywhere, surely.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting.
Maybe just to blitz it into a shake. Pine nut shake.
Now we're talking. Cool.
We'll launch a nutrition podcast next time.
Something to look forward to.
Oh yeah. So I think that's about it, isn't it?
That's a wrap.
Excellent. So after Man versus Lakes, we also had a brief stopover in, I believe it was mostly Surrey, with the Vanguard Marathon and 13 the Hard Way, which is a half marathon, which was in prep for the Tring Ultra Marathon. No, it was not. It was in the prep for the
Man vs. Mountain.
There we go. So more about that in the next episode. Otherwise, thanks for now. And if you did enjoy the show, or you didn't, then go to darthrunners.com and get in touch and let us know whether it was terrible or great. Primarily only if it was great, because we're very thin-skinned.
Yeah, I'm very sensitive. I'm extremely...
And also, if you think there's any races we are missing out on, we are going through the process of planning out 2020 race calendar now. So do give us a shout at podcast@daftrunners.com. Great. Any last words, Jamie?
Again, feedback-wise, I'm, again, really sensitive. Please be nice.
Fantastic. Well, not really fantastic. That's kind of a bit sad. Anyway, that's all for now. Ciao for now.